Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
When God doesn't come through. Did you ever feel like God didn't come through? We like happy endings. Stories where the plot line is something about the main characters get themselves in some sort of tension, and then you watch, waiting for how this is going to be relieved. And they all live happily ever after. Somehow, some way along the path, the cavalry comes in at the right minute, or the knight in shining armor shows up, and it's a happy ending. And all of that happens in 90 minutes. Have you figured out that's not life? We watch these programs, and I'm not condemning them. Some of them are surely entertaining, and you can enjoy them. But wouldn't it be nice if the tension was over 90 minutes, and everything moved on from there, and then you turn it off and you're back to reality? Reality is trials don't end in 90 minutes. There are challenges that will be with us for years, and our resources are strained, and our faith in God is surely tried. That's reality. One of the things I remind myself of, and periodically my wife and I will comment when we're driving down the road, every car you pass, those people are carrying a burden. Without exception. Everyone has some type of challenge or burden that they're carrying. And our reaction is of utmost importance. As believers, many times what we worry about, what we doubt, what we fear never comes to pass. If you really think back, because our minds can go down the road and we can just figure out every possibility of what could happen. But many times the worst doesn't happen. But what about when it doesn't turn out? When what we feared really came to pass? You lost your job. A loved one died. Financial ruin came. You lost your house. Some situation arose that you dreaded. Now there is not a happy ending, earthly speaking. That's what I want to look at tonight when God doesn't come through. Or at least, it doesn't seem like God comes through. Now we all know the answer. God's there and God does come through. But what happens when your worst fear comes to pass? Oh Lord, why did you let that happen? Houston, we have a problem. At 55 hours and 46 minutes, as we finished a 49-minute TV broadcast showing how comfortably we lived and worked in weightlessness, this is Lovell talking, I pronounce the benediction, this is the crew of Apollo 13, wishing everybody there a nice evening. And we're just about ready to close out our inspection of Aquarius, the lunar module, and get back for a pleasant evening in Odyssey. Good night. On the tapes, I sound mellow and benign, or some say fat, dumb, and happy. A pleasant evening indeed. 9 minutes later, the roof fell in. Rather, oxygen tank number 2 blew up, causing number 1 tank also to fail. We came to the slow conclusion that our normal supply of electricity, light, and water was lost, and we were about 200,000 miles from Earth. We did not even have a power to gimbal the engine so we could begin an immediate return to Earth. Did you ever feel that way in your life? This message came in the form of a sharp bang and vibration. Jack Swigert saw a warning light that accompanied the bang and said, Houston, we had a problem here. I came on and told the ground that it was the main B bus undervolt. The time was 2108 hours on April 13th. 200,000 miles from Earth, and they have no power. I guess I want to liken that as we think tonight when God doesn't come through. Did you ever feel like you're 200,000 miles from Earth and you have no power? Now, this story we know had a happy ending. And I got to credit those engineers to bring that module back. That had to be a sick feeling. To literally be headed to the moon and you have no power. Apollo 13 was on a smooth flight. In a few moments, everything changed. As Christians, we may experience a similar situation. Things are going well, and all of a sudden, some type of message comes. A letter, a telephone call. Somehow, some way, something happens, and our life changes in a moment. God, not that. Our lives will never be the same. I'm sure those astronauts aren't the same. That had to be a life-changing experience. It's easy to sit here and say how brave and bold we would be. But when the times come when it seems God just isn't there. A tourist was admiring the necklace worn by a local Indian. She asked, "What's it made of?" The Indian replied, "Alligator's teeth." She said, "I suppose they mean as much to you as pearls mean to me." "No," said the Indian, "anybody can open an oyster." She didn't realize what it took to get those alligator's teeth. And sometimes God lets us have to face things. It's like, God, are you there? He will let us face things that we think, I can't do that. And you know what God says? You're right, but with me you can. I want to go over a few things tonight. A few people in the Scriptures that faced the worst. Not that, Lord. Not that. And I have picked cases where it's not, obviously every person has sin. But the situations that I've picked are not where God is punishing a person. It's just life. It's not like God is chastening them for rebellion. I didn't pick Jonah in the belly of the whale. That was blatant rebellion. He deserved what he got. But when you're going about life, fearing God, and you can look yourself in the mirror and know that, yes, you're not perfect, but fundamentally, God, I'm doing what I can, and God brings something monumental, you say, oh, God. The first one that I want us to see is God let Abel be murdered. We know the story. Cain and Abel are brothers. Abel brings a sacrifice of the flocks, which is the proper sacrifice. God wants blood sacrifice. And he brought that and it was accepted. But Cain brought a sacrifice of the field and God did not accept it. Abel did right. And Cain got angry at him. And his temper was such, he blew up and he murdered him. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. And Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. An innocent man. All I did was give the right sacrifice, and this person's jealousy and anger was arisen, and God let him be murdered. Where are you at when it seems like God doesn't come through? Here is this godly man, and he suffered. The next one I want us to consider, Joseph. A just man, obeying his father's command, seeking his brothers, sold into slavery, accused of immorality, and sentenced to prison by a false witness with circumstantial evidence. Potiphar's wife held out the coat. See? See? But Joseph's explanation was either silenced or not believed. We know the truth. He was an innocent man, no matter what the evidence seemed to say. And all of Egypt, recognized the court record, guilty as charged. And he was an innocent man. God, not that. What have I done, dear God? You didn't do anything, Joseph. I need you in jail. Look at Genesis 39:20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. An innocent man. God, isn't it bad enough? I leave my homeland and my family. Isn't it bad enough I'm in slavery? And now I'm in prison by false charges and circumstantial evidence. The third one I want us to consider, God let John the Baptist be killed. Why? Because he spoke the truth about King Herod. You're not allowed to have the woman you got. He preached the truth, and he went to jail. While he was there in prison, a deal was made with this young girl. She danced. And he said, I'll give you what you want. She said, I want John the Baptist's head. Lord, what have I done wrong? I spoke the truth. And now this foolish little girl demands my head. Matthew 14:10, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. Not that God. What do you do when it seems God doesn't come through? How about the apostles being beaten? They were empowered to preach, and so there they were in the temple preaching. They're brought before the council. We told you not to do this. Gamaliel stands up before the council, and he says, in essence, if God is in this, you can't stop it. If God is not in this, it's not going to go. Take a look at Acts 5:39. But if it be of God, what these men are doing, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply be ye found even to fight against God. Look at this in verse 40. And to him they agreed, you're right. And when they called the apostles and beaten them, you just agreed with what Gamaliel said. Why would you beat me? Can I just kind of make a little note here? And beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. If that was me that was beaten, and I wrote that, I wouldn't include three words and said, and beaten them. I would have told you how awful it was, so you knew how badly I suffered. Right? And the Holy Spirit moved that it would only be recorded, and they were beaten. Because our suffering is nothing in light of eternity. And so it is, God allowed the innocent apostles to be beaten. How about Stephen stoned to death? Here is this godly man. He speaks before the Jews. Tempers flare. They bring about these false witnesses again. This innocent godly man is stoned to death. What did he do wrong? Nothing. Acts 7:59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He saw the vision. This godly man. God, you let me get stoned to death? Yes. How about many believers persecuted and lost their homeland? They literally lost their homeland, their home. They had to flee. Acts 8:1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered. We can read that, but do you realize what that is saying? They were in such peril. They could not stay in their homes. They had to flee their homeland. Imagine we cannot stay here anymore for our lives. Bring it to our own understanding here in this community. It's not safe. We cannot go out in the street. They're going to eventually break the door down because we're Christians. And it says they scattered. God, why'd you let that happen? Many others suffered greatly. Hebrews 11:35. Women received their dead raised to life, and others, here it is, were tortured. God, not that. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Cut in half. Tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. What do we do when it seems God doesn't come through? We pray, God deliver us from this. And we end up getting cut in half. Or we get imprisoned by false charges. Or we have to leave our homeland. And it seems God doesn't come through. Let me read an excerpt from Fox's Book of Martyrs. The first persecution of the church took place in the year 67 under Nero, the sixth emperor of Rome. This monarch reigned for a space of 5 years with tolerable credit to himself, but then gave way to the greatest extravagancy of temper and to the most atrocious barbarities. Among the diabolical whims, he ordered that the city of Rome should be set on fire, which order was executed by his officers, guards, and servants. When the imperial city was in flames, he went to the tower and played upon his harp and sung the song Burning of Troy and openly declared that he wished the ruin of all things before his death. Besides the noble pile called the Circus, many other palaces and houses were consumed. Several thousands perished in the flames, smothered in the smoke, or buried beneath the ruins. This dreadful conflagration continued 9 days, when Nero, finding that his conduct was greatly blamed and a severe odium cast upon him, determined to lay the whole upon the Christians. He at once set forth to excuse himself and have the opportunity of glutting his sight with new cruelties. This was the occasion of the first persecution, and the barbarities exercised on the Christians were such as even excited the commiseration of the Romans themselves. Nero even refined upon cruelty and contrived all manner of punishments for the Christians that the most infernal imagination could design. In particular, he had some sewn up in the skins of wild beasts and then worried by dogs until they expired. And others dressed in shirts made of stiff with wax, fixed to trees and set on fire in his gardens in order to illuminate them. This persecution was general throughout the whole Roman Empire. What do you do when it seems God doesn't come through? Lord, what did I do? Nero set the fire. What are we to do when the circumstances are not our fault and we're unjustly accused? We suffer and it just seems, God, where are you? We've seen this with David crying out, how long? But David lived. What do you do when some people don't live? And the very thing they fear the most, ruin, loss, life-changing loss. It's easy to say we're strong. Wait till we face that. You have to remember this. Our example is Jesus Christ, and God sent him to the cross. I want us to consider Jesus Christ, who gave it all. We may not be required to give our lives. We will endure trials and tribulations in this life. But Jesus gave the ultimate example. The literal God in the flesh came to this earth and suffered at the hands of his own creation and submitted to it and died. You know, as we think about Gethsemane, and Jesus knew what was coming, the first thing I want us to realize is, he went. I'm going to go through this. As our example, we see things we dread, earthly speaking. I'll go through it. When he got to Gethsemane, he prayed, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He prayed and he surrendered his will to that of the Father. He knew the worst, if I can use that expression, was coming. He was going to suffer greatly and die. And he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Jesus did not accept any deliverance. In Matthew 26:52, "Then said Jesus unto him," Peter, "put up again thy sword." Don't fight. Don't deliver me from this. My Father needs me to go through this, and I will go through this. Don't fight. Put that sword away. And then in verse 53, he said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" "Peter, I don't need your help. I could stop this if I wanted to. I'm not going to." He's our example. Does God call you to go through some fiery trial? Go through it. Consider 1 Peter. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us." Think about it. We were called to this. Suffering. "Leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin." Well, those were the illustrations we saw, people that didn't do anything and yet they suffered greatly. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He didn't mumble and complain. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." He gave his trust to the Father, who was the ultimate judge of the universe. You know, this is where Joseph was in Egypt. God knew. And he trusted the court of the universe. One day all things will be made right. And Jesus Christ is teaching us, trust the God of the court of the universe. There's coming a day. But you know the big thing too we need to realize is look beyond it. Hebrews 12:2. We need to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He looked beyond it. Folks, we need to look beyond the suffering. This is what Jesus Christ did. He saw the joy beyond it. He saw the glory in heaven. He saw that we would be saved and there would be people in heaven worshiping him and fellowshipping throughout the ages because of what he suffered and endured. There will be times God is going to allow great hardships come to our lives and we're going to have the tendency to say, "Lord, where are you?" You're not going to let the worst happen, are you? He was our example. He suffered, yet he was innocent. He submitted to the will of the Father and he trusted the Father. Being a Christian does not mean that nothing challenging ever comes our way. Believably, the Christian did not cause the situation, yet it happened, and nothing can change it. Job asked why many times. He learned that knowing why things happen does not change what happened. Job finally learned to trust. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job 13:15. Stop asking why and start trusting. Rather than panic and handle this situation, the believer would do well to pray, "Lord God, I have a problem." As Apollo 13 called Houston, "Houston, we have a problem." 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." The Lord may not calm the storm, but the Lord will calm the believer in the storm. He said in Hebrews 13:5 at the end of the verse, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But sometimes it may feel like it. The truth is God always comes through. When we feel He's not coming through, it's just our feeling. It's our take on the situation at the time. But God surely does come through. The problem is, we always want the knight in shining armor and the cavalry to show up at the right time so there's a happy ending, earthly speaking. But that's not reality. Sometimes God says, no, I need you to suffer some form of loss or tragedy for a greater purpose. Trust me. Trust me. And I want to give you something else to be very encouraged about. When you go through these trials, look at what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Is this not the whole theme of what we're studying tonight? People that have literally been killed wrongfully, imprisoned wrongfully, beaten wrongfully, lost their homeland wrongfully. God says endure it. Verse 20, 1 Peter 2. What glory is it if when you're buffeted for your faults and you take it patiently? That's no big deal. But when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Did you know God notices? When you are suffering wrongfully, God knows it, and He is pleased that you trust Him. God knows that. Remember, He's the God that attends every sparrow's funeral. He cares more about you than He does those sparrows. Therefore, trust unjust suffering, even unto death. It shows our faith in God, and that pleases Him.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.